Hello, strangers. I'm Andy.
Hi, everyone. It's Mark.
And this is Strange Stuff Podcast. Welcome back.
Yes, how exciting. What a week. Actually, nothing much has happened.
Well, I mean, not for you, maybe. I was out socializing on Friday with
some well done.
Workies.
You mean
girls,
in reality, as opposed to virtual socialising?
Yeah, we went and went to the Bishops, had some foods, and then
Good.
We went to Skanks, had a couple of beers.
There isn't a place called Skanks.
It's technically the Lion Bar, but it's Skanks.
You can't. Maybe that's not. Maybe that's not a word, an expression you can use these days. Let me look it up and see if it still comes in the dictionary.
Every
I mean, it
town,
was certainly not.
Every town everywhere in the world has got a Skanks. It's the bar that sells the cheapest beer and is full of the scummiest people. And that's why I love it. It's where I belong.
No, but isn't it mainly targeted? Would you describe a man as a skank?
I'm a skank. Definitely.
I might have described you as that, but I don't think that's what normal people do. Well, that's all right then. If it's
badge of honour.
If it's gender neutral. What was that place we used to go to? Well, we did go there, actually. That Gröna Jägare.
Oh, yeah, that is Stockholm Skanks. That is definitely.
Is that what you call it in the bar world?
Yeah, when you get the... I mean, you can people watch for hours in a Skanks because they're just incredible. We had one guy, this time, but the last time we were there, we had one guy come over to the table. There was me, Robin, I think it was Amanda and Teresa. And this guy staggered over to the table. He was about 60, but he looked 80, you know.
Nothing wrong with that.
And he just staggered over and he says, "Do you mind if I talk to your wives?" And I went, "No, you go ahead, mate."
You carry on.
Oh, that was funny. He just...
Now, this is a bit of a technical issue going on here. You keep pixelating. Not that that's a problem, but it might be irritating for viewers.
No, it won't happen. What you see now is not what goes out. We record in quite low resolution, but it goes out a high def, so don't worry.
All right, good, good. All right, well done. So what time did you get home? 8 o'clock in the evening?
I didn't get home. I stayed at Robin's.
Really?
Yeah, because I was drinking, so there's no way I could get
And
home.
Is Robin a man or a girl?
He's a boy.
He's a boy. All right, so no hanky-panky then.
Maybe.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you're
there was
right.
No hanky-panky. In fact, everyone was asleep, tucked up in bed by 11:30.
I was going to say, all right, 11:30, that's quite respectable for us lot.
I mean, the thing is, Amanda has got a child. We had to meet early. We met at 5:30.
All right, so you were going for a good 6 hours then.
She went about 8 o'clock. Teresa stayed the distance, and Henrik, another guy, he left the bar at about 10, I think, and we got the 10:15 bus.
All right. Oh, well, that's good. Well done. Yeah, well, I was in the Big Smoke. Could you call Gothenburg the Big Smoke? It's
not
a
really.
Big city anyway. No. And needless to say, I was in bed by 9:30. I was feeling a little tired. It'd been a long journey.
Yeah, I mean, it is quite a drive. Six and a half hours.
It's 6 hours, basically. 5 3/4 driving, and then whenever you choose to stop, however much you choose. I stopped once for lunch. I call it lunch. I actually stopped at McDonald's.
Ugh.
I haven't eaten McDonald's in about 10 years.
And now you know why.
And I want something that's quick, not too much, and reasonably okay to consume. And they have a double cheeseburger, which is about...
I know.
It's about 30p or something.
Disgusting.
Well, yeah, but it's just I can't manage those great big, you know, the 16 tons of meat and five tomatoes.
But they don't do them anymore. Everything they sell now has been miniaturized.
Oh, has it? Was that a health? Really? Is that what they're doing?
No, it's not about health. It's about ripping you off. I mean, the Big Mac, they should just change the name to the Mac.
The Mini Mac.
It's ridiculously small now. You hold it in one hand. I remember when they first came out, the Big Mac was like enormous.
Don't you remember that? documentary. I think it was called Super Size Me or something.
Yeah.
Where the guy survived on McDonald's. Well, survived, you know. He ate only McDonald's for a month.
Yeah.
And things started stopping working.
Yeah, but, I mean, he got addicted as well, didn't he?
What?
After that series was made, he actually found himself addicted to McDonald's.
And he had to wean himself off them.
I think he got really porky.
Who wouldn't? Anyway, as I was saying, you know, if I have it a couple of times a month, it can't do me any harm.
It can't do you any good, but it probably won't kill you. There's too many other things trying to do that.
Yes, you're right. Though, well, as you know, I try and keep in shape. Though I didn't do any exercise while I was down in Gothenburg because I went for the economy room rate, and that did not include use of the gym or the spa.
Why did you go economy?
Only because I was staying overnight. I was by myself, didn't have to try and impress any woman.
You could have had one delivered.
Well, I don't do that sort of thing, but you're absolutely right. I don't know whether that actually exists anymore. Do you think? I've never seen anything.
You know, even Maura has got an escort.
Don't be ridiculous.
I'm telling you. I said exactly the same thing when someone said it to me. They said, "Oh yeah, we've got a hooker." I went, "Nah, you have not." And they showed me on the internet this girl in Maura advertising her services, and it was a picture with the head removed. Basically, it was just a cleavage shot and body offering services.
What happened to her head, do you think?
Well, I'm sure it's still there. She just didn't want it out there for her children and her dad to see, I guess. Maybe her dad was one of her possible punters.
Well, I shouldn't be surprised because it's the oldest profession in the world, as they say. Anyway, other than that, the only entertaining thing is watching Mr. DT, Donald Trump, squirming a bit. He's getting a bit nervous in my mind. He realizes, I think, finally, that this is actually happening, and he has to sit through all of this court case. Because I didn't register the fact that because it's a criminal trial, he has to be there. He can't choose when and when not to appear. He has to be there.
Yeah, that's what court is.
No, but if it's a civil trial, you can pop in when you want. But no, he's got to be there. And I'm absolutely certain that the prosecution is doing their darndest, to use an American expression, to get Soapy Williams, what was her name? Stormy Daniels. Up on the stand. We talked about it, I think, last week. But as I say, I actually can almost see him starting to squirm. Anyway, so that's... that's going to be... I don't think they're showing it live on TV, so I might be tempted to watch some of it, actually.
I can't see it'd be that interesting.
No, I mean, actually, yes, you're right. American court cases are always a bit of an anticlimax. Once you've seen that film with Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson, where they're
you
in the Navy...
You can't handle the truth.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly the one. After that courtroom scene, everything else is an anticlimax. Or that, no, there was another really good courtroom scene, not in a Hollywood movie, with Our Father, where the Irish fellow had been prosecuted for doing a bombing.
Oh, In the Name of the Father.
In the Name of the Father, thank you.
Yes.
Where, who's the female lead in that? The well-known English actress who was in Four Weddings and a Funeral. Who was in, Four Weddings and a Funeral. Anyway, no, she produced that note that had been attached to a file. Do not show the defence.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. So that's by the by. Other than that, what else is happening?
Mini Driver.
What's happened to Billy Driver?
Mini Driver.
Mimi Driver.
Mini. That Mini was the Driver. Girl from Four Weddings and a Funeral.
She was in it, and now, in fact, I'm thinking about it. That wasn't the film I was actually trying to reference. God damn it. Which is the one where it's set at Christmas time. And Hugh Grant is in it. Hugh Grant is in it, and he plays the Prime Minister.
Bout a Boy?
No. That's...
I don't know. I don't watch Hugh Grant films except The Gentleman.
All right. Anyway, whatever. It was a very good court scene. So that's going on. What else? I'll tell you what. I was driving down, as I've just said, driving down on Friday afternoon, and that must have been the 19th of April. What was it doing?
Snowing.
It was snowing on the way down.
I still have plenty of snow here.
Do you?
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, actual snow on the road on the way down to Gothenburg.
Well, I'm hoping we won't see any more snow. I can almost see all the way to the road now with no snow. But my garden is still halfway up to the garden fence covered in snow.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh. I reckon it goes quite quickly, though. I mean, the spring must be even shorter up where you are. It must be like 2 weeks and suddenly it's the summer.
Oh, yeah, all the mountains have gone. All the snow mountains where it's been ploughed.
Yeah.
And left. They've all disappeared. It's just basically about... Two and a half feet of snow covering most of the field type places.
Oh. Yes. So what else is there? What else is exciting going on in the world? Must be something happening or not.
I don't know, actually. I haven't been newsing very much. Let's have a look.
Well, unfortunately, I have, and I can't remember anything.
Oh, all I can see is Beckham's 50th birthday. Fuck off.
So hang on, which site are you on? The Sun?
Yeah, of course.
Is that literally who you go to for your news, The Sun?
Oh, it's either The Sun or The Mail, otherwise you hit a paywall. And I'm not paying for this rubbish because they all say the same stuff anyway.
The Guardian is free.
Yeah, but no one. I mean, I'd rather read The Sunday Sport than The Guardian.
No one of your ilk reads The Guardian. No, it's a quality newspaper. Well, it is a quality newspaper, The Guardian.
Mm.
What about The Independent? I think you have to pay for that.
Yeah, I think that's payable.
Yes, I used to actually be able to read or look at CNN. Maybe they're still free to watch the American News Channel.
There's definitely absolutely nothing happening in the world.
No.
Unless you're an influencer.
No. Here's a question for you. Has that fight between Mike Tyson and that TikToks fellow, has it actually happened yet?
No idea.
I think he's going to get his ass kicked, that TikTok fellow. I mean, it's Mike Tyson, even though he's 50.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, it depends how much they're paying Mike Tyson, because, you know, he does spend a lot of money, and I'm sure he's not averse to taking a little knock on the chin for a few million quids.
You can't trust anyone these days.
But he's been bankrupted twice at least.
Mike Tyson has he?
Yeah, I mean, he was the highest paid fighter of all time at one point. But he just burned through the millions. He used to give away, he crashed a Rolls Royce or a Bentley into a lamppost, and he didn't ride it off or anything. But when the police came, he just threw one of the coppers the keys and said, I'll just get a new one.
I think that might have been in his heyday.
Yeah, it was. And he used to... Oh, I mean, he did the typical Hollywood thing. He had two white tigers that he used to walk on leads around Hollywood or wherever.
He didn't.
He did, yeah.
That's nonsense.
It's not. It's a fact.
No one has white tigers other than those comedians. Not comedians, those magicians.
I will find a photo and I will include it, because now I have learned how to add still captions on top of our video, so I can now add photos for the stories And I will put up a picture of Mike Tyson with his two white tigers right here.
I'm just about to just double check. I'm fact checking. That's in fact my role on this podcast. I do the fact checking.
I mean, which is incredible, considering you can only ever have one tab open at a time on your computer.
Yep, I'm doing it on my phone.
I rest my case.
Mike Tyson, white tigers, picks.
Yep.
Oh my God, you're right.
Of course I'm right. I don't need to be fact-checked.
So the world really has gone mad. A beautiful animal like that.
Well, you know, there's more tigers in Hollywood than in the rest of the world put together.
And I think I might need to fact check that.
As much as you want, but it's an actual fact. That's
there
how
are
scary
more
it is.
White tiger or tigers in Hollywood than in anywhere else. Tigers come from India, don't they?
Yes.
Or are tigers in Africa?
No, you find Siberian tigers as well, but it's India.
So you get lions in Africa?
Yes, lions and tigers never meet.
They don't?
No.
It'd be a good match. That would be better than Mike Tyson versus that idiot YouTube fellow.
I would put my money on a tiger. Lions are too lazy.
Yeah, all they're interested in is doing is having sex.
And sleeping.
Yeah.
And telling the ladies to go get me some dinner. That's basically what they do.
No. They get their own dinner, surely.
The girls go out hunting.
Do they really?
Yeah, I think so.
So the blokes are literally, they act as if they're the king of the jungle, and they almost are the king of the jungle.
I'm just going to have a little nap. You make a start, I'll catch you up.
That's what I need.
Wear something sexy when you get back.
I need a girlfriend, a hunter-gatherer girlfriend, so I just sit here waiting for my tea and toast.
Yeah, so from now on, our videos will have pictorial things to go with our stories. I did one yesterday with Richard, Murdery Bits. Oh,
the name I don't like being mentioned. So I see. Hang on a second. You have to accept that Richard is definitely the B team. And how is it he gets the technological advancements? It's like giving the second driver in Formula One the better car. That's not how it works.
Test it out with Richard.
Yeah.
And perfect it so that you get the finished, polished article.
Yeah, I should bloody hope so.
Now,
so what else can you post? Pictures? Video clips?
I'm actually working on our intro titles. I'm going to animate them.
AI, using AI?
Well, no. I like the old-fashioned way. I'm using Hollywood special effects type stuff.
What, you mean cardboard cutouts and elastic bands and warpy things to make funny noises?
Exactly that. Now, I had a very interesting letter or email from our friend Luke from the Isle of Dogs.
He's not on the Isle of Dogs. He's on the Isle of Wight.
Sheppy, Dogs, Wight. It's the Isle of something. And he says, "Hi, Andy. I hope you, Richard, and the third wheel, Mark."
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure I want to see a copy of that, because if that is what he said, that's the last suggestion we're taking issue. Oh, my God. Third wheel now.
Are doing just fine. I'm still listening to your podcast, become a bit of a Sunday ritual. And one thing he's noticed, he says, is that we're missing one of the main genres of strange stuff, which is ghosts.
No, hang on a second. Even my poor memory, we have done a few ghosty ones.
We haven't done very many. And he says, moreover, knowing that I'm originally from London, without being a stalker, this is where one of the most famous ghost stories has ever occurred. And it is inspired films, documentaries, and even a drama series. And he is, of course, talking about the Enfield Haunting.
Never heard of it. I'm sorry.
It's exactly what I said you would say.
This must be some East London. Where does Luke come from in London? He's not in the Sound of Bow Bells.
It's on the Isle of Mental. Is it Skye or Mull of Kintyre or something?
Hang on a second. The Isle of Dogs, that isn't actually... That's in the Thames Estuary, isn't it?
Well, he's not from the Isle of Dogs, is he? I mean, he's...
No, I know, but just probably, talking about...
Yeah, the Isle of Dogs is actually in Essex, I think, almost.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's in the Thames... Oh, my map's not big enough to see that, but anyway. All right, so sorry, what is this? The Haunting of Hounslow, did you say?
That's exactly what I didn't say, and I need to refocus my camera. There we go.
Well, no, I don't need it refocused because all I'm doing is watching you pulling cat hairs out of your mouth.
Yeah. No, it's not the Hounslow Haunting of the Helldivers. It's the Enfield Haunting.
Enfield?
Yeah, I know you've never heard of it because...
No, I have it. It's North London, that Enfield.
Yes, it is.
Not very far north, actually.
Anyway, he's gone one step further. He's actually, because he's got a week off work, he's researched this.
No.
And put together a bit of a script for me as well.
You're joking.
So I've done fuck all this week.
Bloody hell, Luke, what's going on? He wants to take over my job.
He does put a PS at the bottom. It says, I may have to start taking a cut for this production. So we'll have to work out exactly what it costs us to put this show out. And I'll send him a factura.
Yes, exactly. For his bit. It would be like the Aston Martin story. I'd like to have the car at cost, please. Oh, you're more than welcome to. That's 3,000 more than we sell them for.
Anyway.
Oh, dear. So sorry. I've already forgotten the name of it. Enfield.
Enfield.
Something happens in Enfield. There's not an IKEA in Enfield, is there?
I have no idea.
Anyway, who was he haunting? Oh, was it a he or a she?
Well, it's a few. I mean, Enfield, as you've said, is a borough in North London.
Yes.
And it is possibly one of the most deprived areas of the city, where over 35% of all households in the present day are deprived in some dimension, according to data from researched source My London News.
Actually, I've had a fantastic idea, Andy.
What?
We could get rid of you. If Luke is willing to do actual research, I'm obviously the brains of the organisation.
Yeah, who's going
to
be the beauty?
Yes, I mean, exactly.
I'm obviously the totty. You don't know what Luke looks like. He might not be as fabulous as me.
I think there's no risk of him being more fabulous than you if you are a measure of fabulous. Oh, dear.
Now, this story might have gone under your radar because of the year it occurred, and it was 1977, which was the Queen's Silver Jubilee and the year of our Elvis dying.
Well, no, I remember the Silver Jubilee. I was 16. It was don't think 77 was the... There were two really hot summers, and I think they were 76 and 78.
It was 76, yeah. Definitely. But 77, what I said was it went under your radar. I'm talking about the Enfield Haunting, not the Silver Jubilee.
All right, yeah. Yeah. Why, was it actually reported in the press? Your picture is frozen, by the way.
Don't worry about that. It's not frozen. It's just what you said.
Well, what do you mean it went under? Did it actually get reported somewhere?
Yes, it was very much reported in a serial type way by the Daily Mirror.
A quality newspaper in those days.
A red top, I mean.
The Daily Mirror was conservative leaning, wasn't it? And the Sun was Labour, or was it the other way around?
No, that was right. For a change.
All right. Well, we'll let that element of the story slip, Luke, that you're actually making reference to a Tory newspaper, knowing my political leanings.
Socialist.
I don't think I'm a socialist.
Well, this story takes place in Enfield in 1977.
Yeah.
And the events were witnessed and supported by the family, media journalists, and even the Popo, 5-0, making it one of the most prolific poltergeist stories of the 20th century.
But hang on a second. When you say supported by the family, what family? The royal family?
The family involved. And it all began with the mother, Peggy Hodgson.
Oh, you've even got a name.
Yeah.
Peggy, was she an actress?
No, she was a mother.
And she could have been an actress as well.
She was a single mother.
All right.
Caring for her four children. And she occupied a rented council house in Green Street, Enfield. Green Street also being famous for the Green Street Hooligans film, which was also based in North London.
Well, obviously, if it was based in Enfield. But sorry, what was that? There was a film called The Green Street Hooligans.
Yes, and it starred a hobbit.
What, as in Tolkien Hobbit?
The guy who played the hobbit.
Ah, I see the fellow who played. I thought, what? It was... How did Tolkien get hold of? Well, though he lived in London, didn't he, Tolkien?
He did.
He's buried in London.
I take your word for that. He's probably a Highgate Cemetery bod.
I think he is, actually. All right, so anyway, the fellow who played The Hobbit starred in the movie called Green Street Hooligans.
It's quite a good film, actually.
Is it a bit Clockwork Orangey?
It's about football hooligans.
Oh, I might have seen it then.
He's an American visiting London. He gets taken to a football match and gets involved in a bit of hooliganism and he learns to love it.
I was going to say, and he enjoys it, doesn't he?
Mm.
All right, so sorry, but that's not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about today is a ghosty occurrence that just happened to occur in the same part of London. Oh, actually, the same street.
And this street was pretty unremarkable.
Well, especially if it's called Green Street. You can't get much more. It could have been called Brown Street.
And it was considered an ordinary council estate.
I don't think that exists.
What, an ordinary council estate?
No, but a street that's just called a colour.
Well, there's Green Street.
Just sounds weird in my mind.
Isn't there, I mean, there's Green Park tube station at Green Park. It's a park.
Yeah, Green Park. Yeah, Green Park. That makes sense, but not Green Street. Orpington Street makes sense, or Albert Street. Anyway, sorry.
Albert is just a bloke's name.
It's just my brain cloud at, what time is it? 9:30 on a Sunday morning.
Anyway, it's not somewhere that you would picture a typical horror film. However, this was exactly where one of the most documented paranormal investigations has ever occurred. The mother, Peggy, wasn't the first to encounter the paranormal events that will forever leave her disturbed.
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 And her four children. God dear, she must have had a hell of a task. I mean, a single mum with four children.
I'm wondering, it's a bit unkind, I won't say it.
Don't say it. I don't even know what you were going to say, but anyway, don't say it.
I'm going to inquire after the fathers.
Oh, or father. If she was Swedish, it would have been fathers.
Oh, you went there.
Oh, I see. Sorry, that's what you were about to say, was it? Oh, my God. You're right. That was a bit naughty, bearing in mind I live here.
Her two daughters, Janet and older sister Margaret, were the first to hear a set of strange sounds in their bedroom. When Peggy heard the ruckus upstairs, she rushed upstairs to tell the girls to stop fighting and go to bed. Perplexed, Peggy found the girls were sat quietly on their beds, and during Peggy's presence, a chest of drawers started shuffling of its own accord. I don't know if it was playing poker.
Idiot. Do you know what jumped into my mind? Beauty and the Beast. There was a chest of drawers that started shuffling across the bedroom.
Yeah, but that was Disney. It had legs and eyes and a mouth.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking maybe the girls, together with Peggy, had watched that movie earlier in the day and their brains had got a bit confused.
Well, Peggy attempted to push the chest of drawers back to its place, but she was unable to. And she said it was as if she was being repelled from the wall by a magnet. And the same night, there were strange knocks and sounds that were unfamiliar to the family, and they couldn't make out what the hell was going on. They were kept awake all night by these disturbances, and eventually they all sat huddled together in the front room,
Well, it carried on going.
Yeah. The same night, their neighbour, Vic, came round to check on the family. And Vic Nottingham was described by the family as a strong bloke who had a background of building and wasn't scared of nothing.
I don't think he spoke like that, Andy.
I'm betting he did.
I think you're stereotyping the population of Enfield.
I've been to Enfield. Believe me, that's exactly how he spoke. It's uncanny. If he's listening, he probably thinks it's him talking. The family described their experience to Vic, who offered to check for the origins of these strange goings-on and whatnot. So with Vic's background in building work, he understood the noises that a house can make.
What do you mean? Well, what help is noises. A background in building in terms of chest of drawers moving across the floor?
Yeah, that's the bricks settling. It's your plumbing giving it some wash name. That'll be 45 quid. Now, during Vic's inspection of the house, or the ass, as we call it in Enfield, during his inspection of the ass, he reported that the strange knocking followed him room by room, and while downstairs talking to the Hodgson family, the knocks continued through the ceiling. He concluded that the noises in the ass weren't normal.
Were paranormal, in fact.
Now, desperate and tired, Peggy decided to call the cops.
As one would.
I'm going to call the old Bill, I am. No mistake.
That's Hollywood Cockney now. That's definitely not an Enfield.
Now, the popo arrived and inspected the Hodgson residence. What's going on here then?
And did they see a walking chest of drawers?
Well, there was no obvious
cause. That's a play on the walk in a walking. Did you get walking?
Yeah, but it's going over our listeners' heads because we generally come from families that are lucky to have a walk-in house, let alone a walk-in wardrobe.
I can guarantee you that all of the listeners know what a walking wardrobe is.
Only because they've seen it on that magic telly thing.
Anyway, I'm going to use your expression. What did the popo find? What did they discover?
Well, there was no obvious cause, and with kids in the house, the police considered it was possibly a childish prank in the sort of genre of Bart Simpson.
It reminds me of Jeff the Talking Mongoose, I'm afraid.
Oh, I hope they don't. Well, in fact, they have made a film about this. Well,
what?
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
There is a film about this.
What, that you could go and see on the cinema?
I don't know if it was in the cinema, but it's definitely...
What, you mean watching... Nightmare of Elm Street sort of movie, or just...
We'll get to it. I'll tell you what it is and where you can find it later on, but let's not jump the gun. And also...
No, we don't want to upset Luke's research.
We don't want to prove that I haven't actually read this yet. Now, however, one female officer, whilst interviewing Vic Nottingham, saw
that was his name, Vic Nottingham.
Yeah, but Nottingham. You don't say the T's in Enfield, not unless you're a fucking posh git.
So you say Nottingham.
Nottingham.
I can't even say Nottingham. Nottingham without saying that. Nottingham.
Nottingham. Nottingham, you plum.
Nottingham. Oh, no, I'd have to practice that.
So, whilst interviewing Vic Nottingham, she saw with her own eyes a chair moving of its own accord. She stated, "I saw it coming a half inch off the ground or so before sliding either to the right 3 or 4 feet, Your Honour." Now, being a police officer...
She was practising for the court case in case the ghost got taken to court.
Freeze right there, Mr. Ghost. Now, being a police officer, she looked for an obvious cause, perhaps the floor being uneven. And to test this hypothesis...
she sat on it.
No. She laid a marble on the floor to see if it would roll. Now, I'd like to know where the hell in her police uniform...
she got a marble.
She was keeping her fucking marbles.
I'll tell you what, she got it off Vic, because Vic's a builder.
Are we...
so he used to keep marbles in his pockets to check the level of his work.
Luckily, I'm also the Enfield Marble Champion of 1978.
Now you're doing, what's his name? Fellow in Mora. Your impersonation. Gary. No, not Gary. What was his name?
It was Gary.
It was it? Right, carry on. Yeah, so the Cosser gets the marble out. Works out the floor is flat.
She wanted to see if it would roll in the same direction as the chair was moving, but it didn't move at all. It laid still. So, somewhat shocked, she continued to look for a reasonable explanation, perhaps wires. She continued to check for wires. I conducted myself to the rear of said chair.
Magnets. It was all done by magnets.
Chairs generally made of wood.
Yeah, you can have a magnet in a wood, in a piece of wood.
But she found nothing. So the police, the builder next door, and the residents of the house were yet to find anything that would explain the mystery sounds.
Right, so we've got weird noises, we've got a chest of drawers that walks across the bedroom, and we've got a kitchen chair that walked across the kitchen.
Yeah. It sounds like Snow White, doesn't it? Really?
I'll tell you what, that would have to be some pretty serious subsidence. I mean, the angle of the floor would have to be about 60 degrees. You can throw the magnet out the window, literally, to get a chair start sliding down a slope. It would have to be like 60 degrees.
I mean, you
or
would
something.
Fall over.
You would.
As a
you would
man.
Fall over. So she wasn't much of a causer.
Anyway,
no
Peggy
disrespect.
Had an idea because she was desperate to get to the bottom of what was going on.
Damn right.
So she decided to call the Daily Mirror.
Ah. Here we go. Yes. Yeah.
Now, the reporters were a bit unsure about how to approach this case. And on the 4th of September, 1977, they arrived with their cameras.
They should have got Ricky Gervais in, because he does these sort of interviews quite well.
Yeah.
In the afterlife, where he has to interview those ridiculous stories. All right, anyway, carry on. So the mirror arrives with photographers and journalists
and
inverted
cameras. They set the cameras up and they waited for things to happen, which they didn't. They spent the entire evening waiting while making cups of tea and exchanging general pleasantries with the family.
Yes.
As the reporters were leaving, Vic Nottingham ran from his neighbour's house, and Vic stated that things were flying around the room as if being thrown by a madman. So the reporters ran back inside to witness this firsthand, and they came into what seemed like a different house. The energy had changed, and items were being thrown around from all angles.
What? Sorry, hang on, just let me get my head around this. The actual reporters from the Mirror.
Yeah.
Saw things being thrown around in the kitchen.
From all angles.
Not by Vic or Peggy or the four kids.
One reporter said, I couldn't see where they was what coming from.
That is not a journalist. Even for a mirror, they wouldn't speak like that. Their grammar would be far better than that.
Well, they misspelled every word. That's for sure.
What, you've got a copy of the report in front of you, do you?
No, but I will put up a picture of the mirror with the story on it at this point.
All right, good.
For our viewers.
What about for me?
You'll have to watch it later if you want
to
see
it. Later?
Well, you know, after I've put it up.
All right.
On the tube.
Go for it.
So the other reporter was hit in the eyebrow from a small piece of Lego.
Oh, dear.
Now, this ordeal only lasted a few minutes, but according to the journalists, it felt like...
A few minutes?
Yeah, but according to the journalists, it felt like years.
Thinking it was one item that got thrown across the room or something. This is a barrage of items.
Like, it was ongoing.
Green Street in Enfield, in London.
As we call it at work, it was a situation.
in 1977, not 1677.
1977. Now, once things had calmed down and all the items had stopped being thrown about, the reporters left.
About? Yeah, you can Enfield. Say tea again.
I'm in Enfield now. Tea is gone from my vocab.
Is that the only letter they removed from the alphabet?
What? You were? You ain't at? So the reporters left after helping the family put things safely away in drawers.
Yeah.
Now, the following day, it seemed like the technology of the time was unable to capture what the reporters had seen during that terrifying time. The developed images didn't obtain the evidence of this encounter that could lead to conclusive evidence of what this family had to endure during their residency.
So, oh,
please answer.
I don't know who it is, so I won't. I don't know who it is.
It could be Vic Nottingham. Who's taking a piss out of me?
I'll call it back.
Skeptics of the case have argued that when people see something unusual, such as things flying around, they discuss it with others. And by the time they've discussed it, one person's story might influence someone to the extent that they also feel they experience the same thing.
And, well, we know that.
Yeah. And
what's
skeptics,
it called? When all those sheep, something happened with sheep. Mass paranoia. We did a story about sheep and mass paranoia.
Mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria.
Yeah.
Anyway, so hang on a second. So I got all excited for a second, but what you were telling me was that there were a team of mirror journalists
in the
kitchen with photographers.
Yeah.
And they failed to capture any images of the bits and pieces being thrown around, even though one of the fellows got a bruised eyebrow.
Hit in the face with a Lego. I couldn't get my camera up in time because my Lego was in my eyeball.
I mean, not that I'm proposing the fact that the Mirror might make up a story just to sell a few newspapers.
No.
They wouldn't do that, would they?
No, of course not.
No.
I wonder if I can superimpose a long nose.
Nose on you. Who was the editor of the Mirror in those days? It wasn't,
it was
what's his name?
Piers Morgan.
Was it? I was joking. It was Piers Morgan.
He might
was
not
it?
Have been the editor, but he was definitely on the team. I think he might have been the showbiz editor at the time.
And did Peggy turn into a bit of a showbiz star?
I don't know. We'll come to that because we will do a bit of Where Are They Now later on.
Oh, will you?
Yeah.
Luke really did do a good job. I'm more convinced as this goes on.
I actually did the Where Are They Now myself.
All right.
That's how I know we've got it coming. So, I've lost myself now. Skeptics also argue that during this time, newspaper journalists made a living out of selling stories anyway and might have overdramatized the event.
Exactly.
However,
the details.
Both of these journalists stuck by their story. The event had left them disturbed and confused. A bit like an afternoon in a pub.
Disturbed and confused. I'm like that all the time.
They were so disturbed by the events that the journalists themselves sought to help the family by appealing for specialist help. They contacted,
and what sort of specialist help did they appeal for?
I'm going to tell you. They contacted the Incorporated Society for Psychical Research.
Psychical. All right, psychical.
Who investigate happenings that can't be explained or possibly ignored by science.
Right.
Now, the same year that the mysteries unfolded at 284 Green Street, the ISPR, as we would
You've even got
them,
a number. We didn't have a number before. 284 Green Street.
Yes.
I wonder if it's still... Oh, well, you'll tell us that later, won't you? Because you're bound to tell us who lives there now.
Yes, and I've probably put a picture of them on the screen. So the ISPR had a new member, an inventor by the name of Maurice Gross, who had seemed quite carelessly, lost his daughter in a tragic accident. When he heard about this case, and he jumped at the chance. He wasn't sure what to expect. Perhaps the family were all involved in some kind of prank. However, on arrival and meeting the family, he could see that all of them were quite clearly deeply disturbed. Single parent.
Would you be disturbed?
I don't know. I think I'd quite enjoy a haunting, as long as it wasn't too violent. You know, if I could get a nap.
Between bits of furniture being thrown around the room.
I mean, I don't want my teacup in my face, for instance. I mean, that would do a lot of damage.
Yes, it would. A teacup of that size.
Yeah.
I think it might be a bit shocking initially, but then I think it would be more interesting just to, you know, really what is going on here sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to poo-poo the whole idea of ghosts. I like to think there are definitely ghosts and hauntings going on the same way
we have.
Well,
because if there's not,
aliens.
That doesn't mean much for Strange Stuff podcast. If it just discounts
it. We'd be out of a non-job for a start.
Exactly.
Talking of which, while we're here.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Well, I had to turn down my soundboard because I nearly took Richard's eardrums out yesterday.
Did you? Oh, dear. Yeah. That would have been a shame, because if you had, he wouldn't be able to do podcasting anymore.
Anyway, the mother and the children. I've gone ahead of myself.
Oh, no, you've lost your place.
Morris sharing an interest.
Luke, next time, can we have bigger fonts for him, please?
Morris, sharing an interest in strange events, hypothesized that this was poltergeist activity that was creating the disruption to the family's life. However, the mother and the children hadn't even heard of the word.
What, poltergeist?
Poltergeist or hypothesized.
Yeah, but just because they
come
hadn't heard of the word.
In your posh words, mate.
Just because they hadn't heard the word poltergeist doesn't mean they didn't experience what a poltergeist might get up to.
Well, they didn't have a clue what he was talking about, he said.
Oh, I see. So
bet.
You mean...
She want a bet, you plum.
Are poltergeists inherently naughty?
Yes, they are. They are the disruptors. They move stuff. They throw stuff. They're basically having a tantrum the whole time.
Right. Yeah.
Now, during his time at the house, where he spent days and nights, Gross was quickly convinced that the sounds and the atmosphere that pervaded the house and the family were not a prank or a money-making scam.
Enfield isn't built on an enormous London old graveyard, for instance, is it?
Native American Indians.
No, I was thinking more Londoners, but anyway...
There is quite a massive graveyard in Enfield, I believe.
Why is the north of a city? Is a north. Northeast is always the poor part of a city in the northern hemisphere. Is it because the wind is always blowing the stench of poo up north?
I don't know. I think possibly they always build the foundations of a city, and for some reason they build northwards. So the best bit of the building is always the first bit, and then it sort of tapers off as people get lazy and cheap and run out of money.
I suppose it's not actually even true in London, because South, I'll do an impression myself, South London. That's not regarded. It's West London, isn't it? South
West
London.
West London is the affluent part.
Exactly, that's what I mean. East London, North East London is definitely the dodgy area, because that's where you came from.
Charmed.
Camden. I could start doing accents as well. I'm getting the hang of this. Camden.
Camden. Camden.
Carry on. Anyway, sorry. So what's his name? The poltergeist specialist, he's Gross. Moved in with Peggy and the four children.
Yeah. And a poltergeist, he explained to them, is a noisy ghost in German, basically. Noisy ghost. You are a noisy ghost. Heil Hitler.
Oh, for God's sake. I was thinking that throwing my 2 pence worth of German in Handy Hawk was bad enough, but you've got to edit that out. You can't.
Why?
We might have German listeners.
We do, and they will appreciate that.
Oh, of course, Matthias.
Yes, he is now spitting his tea as we speak.
Yes. We are not all the same, you know.
Oh, that was a bit racist.
Well, it wasn't actually, but anyway.
They're also responsible for bad smells as well as noise, things moving and turning up somewhere else, or they can sometimes be responsible even for injuries. They have an evil intelligence about them. Moreover, this poltergeist activity was so intense that Gross decided he needed help, as this was not a one-man job. That's a bit too low, maybe.
Oh, that's deafening at my end.
Is it? I'll turn it back down. It's very difficult to tell.
To modulate, I think, is the word you're looking for.
Oh, listen to you, the sound man. Okay, anyway, he contacted a journalist, the way you do.
Not another one from the Mirror and his useless photographing team.
This one had a background in paranormal investigation. His name was Guy Lion Playfair.
He wasn't. That wasn't his name.
It probably wasn't when he was born, but that's the one he gave himself as a professional journalist.
Playfair.
Lion Playfair.
Randy Playfair.
I'm just going to call Lion Playfair.
That is not a name.
Now, Guy's original plan was to pop in once or twice. But after seeing with his own eyes what was happening in that little council house in Enfield, he decided to stay for 14 fucking months.
So hang on, Peggy's getting a bit crowded here. She's not only got Gross, she's got Playfair involved and the 4 children. How big was this house?
Bear in mind, she's a single mother and he's got a name like Playfair. I'm guessing there might have been a bit of anky-panky in between the poltergeisting.
Oh, dear.
I mean, it's not like she's not a goer. You know she does it. She's got 4 bloody kids already.
Absurd.
She's sort of a sure thing.
Don't be ridiculous. She might have been a perfectly respectable young lady who had 4 children with a loving husband, and then he ran off with the secretary.
People who live in Enfield don't have secretaries? What planet are you from? People who live in Enfield are the secretaries. So anyway, now the family have the investigators camping out in the house in the hope of documenting what the hell is going on. So the reporting from these journalists eventually attracted the interest and the attention of the BBC.
Quality news agency.
Who also sent journalists, talking of which, actually, I just started watching The Scoop.
Oh, yes, with Gillian Anderson.
Yeah, I've only got sort of 30 minutes into the first episode, but it looks quite entertaining.
First episode?
And I have to say, I don't know if it's a film or a series. It might be a mini-series. But the chap they got to play Jeffrey Epstein is fucking uncanny. When you first see him coming out of the brownstone house, it is Jeffrey Epstein.
Sorry, what? There's a character, Jeffrey Epstein, in this thing.
You know, it's all about Prince Andrew.
I thought it was about Prince Andrew's interview.
And the reason for the interview?
Oh, I see. So they're actually doing a dramatisation, historical reference sort of thing.
Well, the whole thing is a drama. It's not a documentary at all.
Oh, I see. All right. So who plays Prince Andrew? Who was the lucky actor who got to play Prince Andrew?
The chap who's got the career-killing role.
I was going to say. Oh, I might start watching that then.
It's actually worth watching, I think. It looks as though it is, anyway. Anyway, so the BBC also sent journalists to the house. So now you've got the BBC journalist.
You've got Gross.
Following the instructions of the lodger journalist. Who's
Lady Fair.
And they waited until the family were asleep and Playfair probably came back out of the master bedroom. And then they waited to see what would happen.
And what did happen?
Well, during the first few hours, they heard a crash upstairs. And when they went to investigate, a chair that had been standing up next to little Janet's bed had been thrown roughly across the floor.
What's Monty Python got to do with anything now?
Well, I might as well just go the whole hog here.
All I'm waiting for is the Cornish pirate.
It's coming. So this chair had been thrown roughly across the floor, leaving it upside down and 6 feet away from its original place.
Strong toddler to do that.
And many cases like this tend to involve younger girls. And it says here in parenthesis, you can look this up, you bastard.
This is Luke communicating with you, is it? Yeah. Cheeky so-and-so.
Isle of Dogs maniac. But this isn't because they're the ones doing it, necessarily. Proponents in the field of poltergeist research have often drawn links between poltergeist activity and girls beginning puberty, which has been seen in many cases.
Or even I think we need to give this fellow a job.
Even being on the blob, they tend to throw things around as well. I know.
No, that's a bit sexist. I think that's going to turn a few lady listeners off.
How is it sexist? I mean, men don't go on the blob. You can't.
Yes, but you're implying that women who are throw things around the room. You're almost saying they're the poltergeist.
When Carrie comes to town, sanity and reason leaves.
Is that Carrie as in the Exorcist?
The girl covered in blood from the film?
I don't remember that one.
From Carrie, when she got covered in pig's blood from the bucket.
It's not the sort of movie I would ever watch.
Stephen King, man.
All right. So, yes. Sorry, the more I get into this, I think we need to offer Luke a
position. First of all, no, you've made me feel a bit guilty, so I'll apologise for referencing mad cow disease as something so trivial or not sensible or sexist. So mad cow disease we'll stick to from now on.
All right, go for it.
So by October 1977, the family had decided all to sleep in the same room. Well, I'm getting a bit suspicious of this Playfair chat.
So am I, actually.
I'm Playfair, you cat.
Because you've got this poltergeist expert, Gross.
And a prepubescent girl now in the same bloody room as
you've got a fellow called Lady Fair. And you've got BBC journalists. Oh, it was Playfair, not Lady Fair.
It's a recipe for a fucking disaster.
Sounds a bit like an orgy.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, so we got the chair upstairs after the crash. And then what happened?
Okay, so they're all sleeping in the same room. And this was the same month that the poltergeist activity actually escalated. So the family reported a loud scraping noise coming from the fireplace. Then, out of nowhere, the fireplace front unit reported to be lifted as high as the frame of the double bed, which would have been impossible for the children or the mother to pick up, let alone lift to the bed frame height. Pipes, gas pipes, I'm guessing, were also bent out of shape. The next day, fearing for the family, Gross took out the fireplace unit. But interestingly, he also hired a physics student from the University of London to see if any of the family were able to bend the metal like the famous spoon bender, Uri Geller.
I know him.
You know of him.
Well, yeah, I know
he's
of him.
He's not a family friend, is he? He doesn't pop around for tiffin.
No. No.
So
he used to live in Henley.
That's not too far from Enfield, actually.
Henley? It's nowhere near Enfield. In every respect. In every respect, it's nowhere near Enfield.
Gross and the student he hired found that Janet, the child that the poltergeist activity was centered around, was actually able to bend the metal without even touching it. Now, Janet stated, "I'd never done anything like that before, I hadn't. I never considered myself gifted, just a normal match-selling girl."
Where did Mary Poppins come into the picture? She wasn't a chimney sweep by any chance.
That was her daytime job. Night times I'll sell matches, I do. Till I hit me puberty, and then I'll go on the street like me ma.
Again, not very nice.
Okay.
Anyway, so this fellow Janet is now suspected of being the, what would you call it, the host of the poltergeist?
Or the conduit, as it were.
Conduit, yeah, that's better, because host almost implies willingness.
Now, the instance of Janet displaying these abilities seemed to happen only once.
Only once?
Yes.
So she hasn't turned into a professional plumber?
No.
With her pipe bending abilities, it would be quite useful. If you were a plumber, to be able to bend the pipes without touching them.
Yeah, as long as you could bend them in the right way.
Well, yeah.
If it was a random bend, it could get a bit awkward.
That's true. That would not be good for a plumber. It'd be better not to be a plumber
be
if
able
it
to
was
get
random
into the toilet
bends.
Pipes everywhere. So reporters continued to go to the house and interview the residents. While various interviews were being conducted, the poltergeist activity was going right on in the background. This was in the form of knocking, in which the family had almost become accustomed. By late October, night after night of this activity, the journalists sent the family on a holiday, fearing that they might be reaching breaking point, probably paid for by the Mirror. And followed by photographers, no doubt, to document every move of their holiday.
Oh.
So during the holiday, the family reported a welcome break with no activity to terrify them at night. But what would their return bring?
So hang on a second. So the family have gone and the activity stops.
Well, yeah, it's an empty house. They wouldn't know if it had stopped or not. I'm guessing the journalist didn't stay there.
I was going to say, so the journalist didn't hang around to see what would happen or not.
Well, no, I mean, there's no point. The MILF is gone. What's the attraction?
Again?
So anyway, the activity returned with a vengeance. Janet experienced the covers being pulled off her body one night, which is probably...
And it wasn't Playfair.
Well, Lion Playfair was in the other room with the mother. So imagine you're just sat there naked. How would you feel? And it says here, how do people feel comfortable taking showers with a fucking ghost watching you, let alone wanking? Luke, what is going on?
I don't think you need to read out his editorial notes, actually, Andy.
I mean, I should have read this first, clearly.
I think you should have done, actually.
Anyway, the two girls were terrified. Janet jumped into bed with Margaret. Oh, we're going that. No, I'm not. Let me just read this first. Okay. Janet jumped into bed with Margaret, where the headboard began to knock violently before Maurice Gross came into the room. It's starting to sound like a 70s porno.
It is, actually. No wonder. I'm surprised the Sun and the Daily Sport haven't sent journalists and photographers round.
Well, Gross attempted to challenge the entity, suggesting have a conversation in which the poltergeist will answer yes with one knock and no with two knocks. Or the other way around, not sure which. The entity was not playing. It knocked 53 times. Maurice lost his patience. "Are you having a game with me?" he shouted, before he experienced a whooshing sensation all over his body, and he was hit with a cardboard box from the corner of the room, and this frightened everyone in the room. Oh.
That's the end of the story, is it?
I'm hoping
that there's page two.
Oh, Luke. Are you leaving us hanging? Anyway, what we're going to do is call that end of part one, and we'll continue this saga. We have been going for over an hour, so this is a good place to break and get Luke to send me part two.
Yes, otherwise, for God's sake, Luke, you were going to do what's happened now, what's happening now. 284 Green Street still exists, obviously, although have they knocked it down?
Oh, no, I will be putting photos up of the house and the family. And there is even a picture of Janet being held across the room.
And I don't think so.
At one point, she is even possessed, which we will go into next week.
Oh, dear.
But the two sisters who were involved in the case returned to the house after 40 years. And this house spawned... Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, that's going in my headphones. I started a trailer for the film. It was a film called The Conjuring, and it came out in 2006. It was The Conjuring 2, in fact. I don't know what happened to the first one.
I was going to say, what?
Now, as research for the film, Margaret and Janet were taken back to the old London council house to relive their version of events. Janet, who was 11 at the time and was the focus of the activity and photographs appearing to show her being flung through the air by unseen forces, generated fascination and panic in equal measure. Margaret, who was 13 at the time, was less affected by the poltergeist, but was also photographed being thrown through the air with Janet.
But are we going to have to wait for part two to find out, did they actually get rid of this poltergeisty fellow?
We're going to wait to part two.
We're just guessing. We don't know if there is a part two. No,
there will be a part two, because if Luke doesn't come through, I will
You're
going
to have to cancel this episode.
No, I will research it myself, God damn it. Anyway, this is the end of part one. So good. Join us next week for part two, when we will hopefully have the conclusion to the Enfield haunting.
So just to double check, all of this time, it's actually all of this is being reported in the media as it's happening.
Yes.
So there are actual, as you say, there are headlines that will actually say Enfield poltergeist strikes again.
Yes. Oh, words to that effect.
All right.
And, you know, next week we'll come to the conclusion. That will save me having to research again.
Oh, dear. I've just noticed the T-shirt you're wearing is stars and stripes.
It's not actually, it's more Cuba than America, I think.
Why do they have stars and stripes in the Cuban flag?
I think they do.
Who was the fellow, Cuba?
Castro.
Castro. And is it Castro's son who's doing Cuba these days?
I thought it was his brother.
Oh, maybe it's his brother. They kept it in the family anyway.
Yeah, you don't give up a whole country easily.
No, that's true. All right, well, well done. Well done, Luke. Nothing to do with you, Luke, obviously.
Out there on the Isle of Skye, Sheppy. Don't forget, check out our website at strangestuffpodcast.com, where you can find links to all our socials, and you can like this nonsense, subscribe and follow. And you can watch us on YouTube and see all the pictures that I'm going to be overlaying on top of this wonderful video.
Yes, even I'm going to be motivated to watch my own video just to see the photographs.
In the meantime, have yourselves a strange week. And if you do have a poltergeist in your house, take photos, make recordings, and send us the evidence, because we would love to see it.
Yeah, we would.
See you next week.
Cheerio for now. Bye. Well done, Andy.